is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Richard Fontaine, the CEO of the Center for New American Security, writing most recently about the surprise announcement by the President of the United States and the Prime Ministers of the United Kingdom and Australia about an alliance, a strategic alliance, these three countries, trilateral. The mission here is to contain the wolf warrior of China and the aggression towards Taiwan and other neighbors in the area. Richard, your article is praiseworthy of this alliance, so let's begin with what's in it for the U.S. There already is an alliance in ANZUS dating for some time between Australia, New Zealand, and the United States. There are other alliances to speak of. This one emphasizes nuclear-powered submarines or, in some fashion, an upgrading of the Australian Navy. Is that a positive for the U.S.? Good evening to you, Richard.
Good evening. It is a positive. And as you say, the U.S. already has an alliance with Australia and an alliance, separate alliance with the U.K. They're both in NATO. And if this was just another gathering of prime ministers or consultations or sort of feel good, it would be kind of a ho-hum affair. But as you pointed out, the real meat on these bones is this agreement to provide nuclear propulsion technology for Australian submarines. It's a kind of a technical thing. You sort of wonder why this is so important. Well, first, the United States has only done this once ever, and that was 70 years ago with the Brits, who we shared it. It said no to everybody else. They're saying yes to the Australians now. And part of the issue across the Indo-Pacific is the deteriorating military balance that is falling in the direction of China. Part of the reason for that is China's fielding of its own nuclear-powered submarines. And by doing this, by the time all is said and done, this could have the effect of essentially doubling the U.S. or now allied presence of nuclear subs in the region where they matter the most. And so that's a good thing for deterrence and for maintaining the balance of power in Asia.
Everything is timing. You note that this comes immediately after the tragedy in Kabul and Afghanistan. I don't think that this story is connected in an intimate fashion, but it is suggestive that the U.S. needed to bolster its position in the world. Does that work, Richard?
It's part of the answer. I mean, certainly what was announced with Britain and Australia is not going to wipe away the questions that allies and observers have raised about American competence or American commitments to allies, whether it's local allies like Kurds and Afghans or alliances more broadly. But it is an answer. It's a step in the right direction because certainly the administration wanted to show strength and resolve and that it's not on the back foot and that it's willing to take steps, including some sort of dramatic steps in order to work with allies to protect both our interests and theirs.
And in making this, again, timing is everything. It is well received in Canberra. We know this, although there was an emergency meeting, a lot of drama before this was announced. It is well received in London. We'll go there next because there are always dissenting voices in Parliament. And right now it's too early to imagine that it's been polled here in the United States, but does this answer for what begins to be a Biden policy, a Biden foreign policy? Does it describe in some fashion something different from Trump and different from Obama?
It does. That directionally, in terms of the skepticism about Chinese power and Chinese intentions, the Biden administration is actually quite similar to the Trump administration. But in the what to do about it category, they've made some serious departures. One thing they did do was upgrade the quadrilateral framework with the U.S., Australia, Japan, and India, which had been sort of revived by the Trump team and made it at the leaders level. You know, they renewed the visiting forces agreement with the Philippines. They diffused some host nation support disputes with Japan and South Korea. They did a big quad vaccine initiative of a billion doses. Now you've got this Australia deal. So what you're seeing is the idea of sort of knitting together a coalition that is not explicitly anti-China, but that is in total aiming to bolster the allied position in a region where, given China's growth, the balance of power was, from our perspective, deteriorating in their direction.
What's in it for the United Kingdom? Boris Johnson has made remarks to Commons that this is a statement of no closer friends than Australia and Great Britain. He made mention of Australia's sacrifices in the two wars. I thought that was brilliantly weaving in a Churchillian moment, which we know Boris Johnson likes to do as often as possible. However, there is dissent led by the outspoken remarks of the former Prime Minister Theresa May that this risks being dragged into a war between the U.S. and China. There is a faction in Britain, in the Tory Party as well as Labour Party, that regards the confrontation with China as unnecessary. Does this help the United Kingdom in some fashion find a mission after Brexit?
Or
does this limit Johnson because of the dissent?
No, according to the government's own stated objectives, this fits right in. So after Brexit, the Brits put out a big strategy for their role in the world after Europe, so to speak. And a lot of it was focused on what they called the tilt to the Indo-Pacific. They weren't going to pivot like we tried to do. They were going to tilt to Asia. And of course, the question is, great, what's your idea? How are you going to do that? What's the role of Britain in this big region that last time I checked was pretty far away from your shores, no matter what interests you discern there? And this is a very specific answer to what are you going to do about it? There's, making headlines all over the world and including in Asia. There are three countries, and one of them is the UK. That's success in tilting or beginning to tilt to Asia, and doing so in quite a firm alliance framework with the United States and Australia.
Mr. Johnson cleverly called this the maritime democracies. I love that. I've told everybody I'm stealing it. The maritime democracies linking up. Now, it does also suggest that Britain is getting involved in a confrontation with China. It suggests that. And Britain has a bill of particulars given the betrayal of the promises made over Hong Kong. Do we believe that's part of the case that the UK can now make? In other words, are they going to be forceful and even adamant of speaking out against China's misconduct?
Well, they will. And the mood with respect to China has changed quite a bit over the last few years in London. China, even relatively recently, was seen as a tremendous source of foreign capital for investment in the UK, to be courted, to not be pushed too hard so as to interrupt a productive economic relationship. Even when Huawei sought to build out the 5G network in the UK, and the Americans said, don't let them do that, they said, well, we can mitigate the risks, they can do some of it. Well, along came Hong Kong, and like you said, the sense of betrayal of internationally agreed status for Hong Kong's democracy, and a lot of other things as well, the South China Sea and Xinjiang and India and everything else. And so what you have now is a government in London that is far more skeptical of Chinese intentions and Chinese actions than previously, and is willing to act on that basis.
Australia, what's in it for Australia? Scott Morrison makes this announcement with the Prime Minister of Britain and with the President of the United States. The Australian Navy has physical limitations having to do with the aging out of its submarine fleet, and it's now reneging on the purchase arrangement with France. So before we go to Canberra, let's go to Paris. They're unhappy, Richard. Very unhappy. Is that a significant factor?
I think that's putting it mildly. They are bent out of shape for being excluded by the Americans from this framework. Although that said, by that token, we've also excluded the Canadians and the Kiwis and the Japanese and the South Koreans and lots of other very, very close allies, the Germans. But I think what really has them in quite a very understandable fit of pique is you know, before this announcement, people in France went to bed during an election year believing that they had a contract to build somewhere between 50 and 80 billion, that's with a B, dollars worth of submarines for Australia. And, you know, the Australians reaffirmed that just a couple of weeks ago. And they wake up and look at their newspapers and say, oh, actually, the Australians are canceling that and they're going to get together with the Brits and the Americans to do it. And no one told us anything about this. We just found out. So, they're it's an understandable reaction, and it's going to have to be, you know, well managed diplomatically from here on out.
Canberra is under threat. It's jaw threat. I understand that. But China doesn't waste an opportunity to make aggressive remarks. Does this answer China? We'll get to China in just a moment. But does this answer China for Scott Morrison?
It is an answer to China. It's not going to be the final answer in the sense that Australia has been increasingly worried about what it sees as a deteriorating security environment in which it lives, as China's military power has risen and others, including the United States, have been focused on other parts of the world. There's a limit to what Australia itself can do about that, which is one of the reasons why they're so keen on the alliance with the United States and for the United States to sort of spend more time and effort and resources in their part of the world. These subs are sort of the quintessential power projection capability. So it's a significant augmentation to the Royal Australian Navy's ability to go toe-to-toe, so to speak, with the Chinese capabilities there. That said, the most recent Chinese pressure against Australia has been economic. So they didn't like the fact that the Australians came out and said, well, we should look into COVID with an independent inquiry. It's a pretty mild suggestion, but they reacted like an enraged bull elephant. And they said, well, no more Australian wine to China, no more Australian barley to China, no more Australian these other things to China, given that that's one of the biggest export markets. And today, it's notable that the Chinese reacted by saying all the kind of negative things about the United States that one might expect in response to this. But they said specifically to the Australians, you will pay a price. And I would expect that price to be economic rather than military, at least in the short run.
The one regret you have in your most recent observation of this news is that the U.S. is taking the lead politically, diplomatically, militarily, but not economically. What remains to be done, Richard?
Well, anything remains to be done because we aren't actually doing anything now, unfortunately. I'll give you one very concrete example. The United States inaugurated the idea of a regional Trans-Pacific Partnership Act, a free trade agreement across the region. Of course, we were going to join that thing. We're involved in writing that thing. Have decided under Trump and then now under Biden that we actually don't want to be part of that. It went forward without us. It's now the CPTPP. And today, Beijing filed formal notice that China would like to join the regional trade agreement the United States wrote, invented, and helped to push through everywhere except at home. That the bottom line is that when you think of a positive, affirmative economic agenda in Asia, China has one, the United States does not. And that's tying one of our hands behind our back.
I'm speaking to Richard Fontaine, the CEO of the Center for New American Security, following the revelation dramatically by three very strong leaders in the maritime democracy world, prime ministers of Britain and the Australia and the president of the United States about a new alliance. When we come back, Beijing reacts threateningly. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.